Kaya Biz.
This is Kaya Biz
with Guletum Phuphi.
On the street, on the air.
On Kaya 959.
This one's going to be a very interesting one, right? Because I'm speaking to two of my colleagues who ordinarily we either talk about three teaspoons or witnessing or we discuss research in the background, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm in conversation this evening and you might have heard our conversation earlier when I highlighted the fact that we will be taking a look at research that speaks to us, you and I, what it is that we're doing with our money, what's influencing our financial behaviors, and what are the key themes that also underscore the access to money and, of course, wealth creation opportunities that we are aware of. So, we're talking about the black middle class and, of course, most importantly, following up on a topic that was discussed just this morning on Uncle T's show, the best tea in the city, are you ready for retirement? So, as you've guessed, in studio, we've got two colleagues of mine, very close colleagues, head of research here at Kaya 959, Amuma Tibula, as well as the host of the best tea, but also an academic, business owner, entrepreneur, and joining us as a leader in thought leadership this evening, Thabo Mokoele. I'll call you Ntate Mokoele tonight.
Hey, guys, I've graduated. Good evening.
Oh, what a delight to speak to you both. And I think first things first, many folks might be thinking, hold on, this is a research paper talking about the black middle class put together by UCT together with Liberty. What is the role and the involvement here of Kaya 959?
Yeah, so I think the past 2 days have been like sort of
a roller coaster for you.
Yeah, roller coaster.
You can come closer to the mic.
Oh, sorry.
This is on air.
Yeah. So it's been a roller coaster, and it's been like a very long journey for us. I think almost like 18 years of research. And when we shared the things that we'd done with like the institute, the UCT Institute, they actually liked what we're doing, mm-hmm. and it was also in sync with what they've seen. But
and let's add things into context there. This is research that's based on us,
yeah,
all of us, the listeners, yeah, ourselves, yeah, as presenters and broadcasters, yeah, and just the community and environment that we're in.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for us, there's that one part of like the work that we've been doing as a station, and for that work to be on par with what like the best university in Africa,
mm.
and when they say actually what you guys are seeing is what our guys have seen, mm-hmm. but you guys have another lens, and we have a better connection with our listeners because we also activate them. They come to events.
Yeah.
We talk to them through you and Prati. Oh. So it was those two things. Then we are in a strategic partnership with the Institute, and we thought let's come up with a new genre.
Yeah.
Research is infotainment, and who better to do that than Prati,
right?
He's also an academic.
Exactly. So, yeah, and that's something that a lot of people actually don't know about you.
Yeah.
We listen to you on air from 9 to 10 and think that's where it ends. But
I try by all means to try and bring it out whenever I can. And I really do, because even your favorite day, Witness Day, is very researched. We read and read and read.
My dad listening to me.
No, but dad, she's BMC, as in black middle class. But you see, that's the thing about what we are as a lifestyle brand, Kaya, have been doing, and that's how we caught the attention of other academics. Even in the 18 years, we even caught the attention of Vest Business School, who wrote a case study on Kaya and is now part of the prescription or prescribed material in terms of their, including MBAs. So why not carry on with that? Because clearly there's something that we're doing that says, that puts us at the center or as practitioners and people who are ever evolving in understanding or trying to understand who we're talking to. Because you think as black people, it will be easy for us to know how to communicate, yep, and to even get to black people.
Yep.
And the more you research and the more you are immersed in that environment, you realize, wait a minute, this goalpost keeps on moving and changing and
constantly
evolving. So, and usually what we do as researchers, as advertisers, as even as brands, we want to pick a certain point in a timeline of a black consumer. Says, that's the point I'm going for. She is And that's it. It ends there. Forgetting that she is multifaceted and.
Mm.
And that's why I think the greatest message that came out today was more powerful than anything. Don't sit there thinking, I know who they are and I know where they are and I know what they want.
Right.
Mm. Collaborate.
Yeah.
For you to answer those questions.
It's not just this one blob of a homogenous group. There's so much diversity to it. Yeah. And maybe let's quickly touch on a quick overview to understand who we're talking about and what some of the numbers and insights do share before we bring it full circle to the question and conversation around retirement. And Amo, maybe here you can give us a quick overview as to who we're talking about when we say black middle class. How much are these people earning? Where are they based and how many of them are they? And if we even like the term black middle class, I won't lie. Sometimes I take offense to it. Yeah. It makes me sound as though I'm a statistic.
Yeah,
on some jot or map.
Yeah, so the term itself is very difficult.
Mm.
I mean, it came out today. Some of it is self-defined, but the headline the Institute has taken, which we sort of align with, is a household that earns over 22,000 rand, because when you
per month,
because that's where government support ends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the line that we take. There's 3.4 million households, and spending power is 400 billion.
Huge.
Massive.
That's bigger than the market cap of some of these companies listed on the JSE.
All right.
You see, and we've always, as a station, said we want to represent them in an authentic way. And not to just see them as consumers, because I think one of the best sayings always say like behind frameworks there are human beings.
Mm.
So behind like a number of a listener, whatever number it is a human being.
Yeah. Mm.
So whilst the numbers are important, it's also very important to know them as human beings, what they like, what they fear, their aspirations, their hope, their hopes, and how we actually got involved, like properly, when the first paper came out with Black Diamond.
Mm.
We knew that actually we're not just a homogenous group when we talk about whether you like the term or not. So it was a bit funny for us to finally get involved this year, because when we first saw the paper, we thought, okay, the guys have done something. But we had a different view.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By saying that different segments. Not everyone started poor, and not everyone, started rich.
True.
Mm-hmm. But delving into those segments and by age, income, what they like has been a labor of love. And you have to collaborate to what Prati says with economists and all types of people to find like the nuances.
Exactly.
So let's
go into some of those nuances, because you've given us a quick great highlight in terms of who the forerunners are, the individuals who are the first to break out of the township and perhaps purchase property, acquire assets, get an education. And then there's second generation who might have a greater level of flexibility given that they come from that environment, and third generation who might be the guys who say, hold on, I'm crafting my own career, this thing of school and everything else, and maybe this is also takes us back to one of the aspirations that was discussed, which is essentially financial freedom. One of the earlier speakers highlighted in the video that whatever I do, spending time with my kids or traveling or working, the money must just
keep coming in.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this speaks to retirement, right? And what it is that we're going to do in our senior years. And the reality is that for many South Africans, retirement is still an unsexy topic to talk about, Uncle T.
It's not
something that we plan for adequately.
You know, there's something called flatlining. I think you understand it in its broadest terms.
Yeah.
And sometimes we use it even on radio, on shows, because now we have something that can give you response in real time, being social media.
Yes.
Today my show flatlined. Flatlined.
Sure.
Because we spoke about the most unsexiest, yet triggering, but yet very important a subject that we need to talk about, meaning retirement.
Mm.
Hence, have you ever thought about it? And that's why the question was asked. Can you afford to? And you see, it goes back to money coming rolling in.
Yeah.
So hence, the affordability part was more emphasized.
That's the trigger.
Yes, it is. Because now, do we retire or do we open up a new portfolio of our waking lives?
Hmm. Let's focus on the retirement one first, because I really want us to be honest about that. My parents are in the retirement age, and for many South Africans, we actually feel that pressure that, okay, after they stop working, you need to maintain their lifestyles. And that leads us, I guess, to understand some of the cultural dynamics and nuances that we all experience as Black South Africans sometimes.
Look, I saw my dad when he retired, and it was dead. He came of age, he took his retirement, he was home.
Yeah.
Luckily, he has educated his children, my sister and I, to be self-sufficient, right? I think before any of it, we are the first generation that didn't necessarily have to fill a gap, a minus, right? Because that's where the whole thing comes from.
Mm.
You cannot afford to retire purely because you still feel there's a hole that you still need to fill.
Yep.
Financially,
gotcha.
Be it what we call, and everybody agreed, it's a very uncomfortable term, but for everybody's sake and, you know, understanding black tax, right?
Yep.
Which in actual fact is horizontal philanthropy.
Yep.
You are taking care of others because that's how you were raised. And it's an opportunity, it's a privilege.
Honorable act.
An honorable act that you pass on, and you do it. Not because you were, sometimes you are demanded to, but you also know in your spirit is the right thing to do, right? So put all of that mix in there and then ask that question. Can you retire? You can't. I'll give a simple example with myself. I love what I'm doing. I'm blessed to do what I do. 20 years this October, right?
Congrats.
Thank you. So it's an amazing 25.
Yeah,
25 years.
Yeah.
25 years on air this October. It's an honor to still do what I do. I love it. But I know there's a time. There's a timeline waiting, right? But when that timeline hits, it still haunts me to think about it, right? Will I still be on air? Will I still be able to do gigs? Chances are not. So what's next?
Mm.
And I think before we say retirement, because maybe that's where the trigger is to think about retirement, because sometimes retirement also triggers other things.
Mm-hmm.
And retirement in other people, we saw other entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
Who have been running businesses and they decided, I'm going to retire. And then they wilt. They age quickly, and you're like, whoa, no, I don't want that.
End of an era.
So there's a tension, there's a conflict with not only the terminology, but we just need to think about what's next. And the things that came out from the research is obviously the issue of affordability. The other that came out was legacy.
Yes.
Right? Three, you have failed, in inverted commas, even if you haven't surpassed the benchmark set by your parents.
True.
You understand what I'm saying? So the benchmark is there. So you have failed if you haven't gone past that. Therefore, have I created generational wealth? Have I planted the tree that I'm not going to be there to enjoy its shadow or fruits?
Mm.
And that's where the tension is. That's why it's such an uncomfortable subject, because it is one that keep on fighting. Look at it now. We are going head first into recession.
Oh, for sure.
Unemployment rate, quite high. So all of those things, it's a mixed bag that sits on you. However, the Black Middle Class report shows you there is no resilient people than this cohort.
Tell us why.
Because of how we were brought in, from the forerunners to the current generation and the generation after. Regardless of your circumstances, you were able to permeate through.
Yeah.
Whether you are at the township, whether you are at the rural school, look at where you are now. So there's a resilience in your DNA to be self-capable, to do other things, to achieve, right? So when you tap into that, when you tap into that, then you start seeing possibilities. But our mindset, obviously, psychologically, and we're talking about social behavioral here, psychosocial behavioral stuff, which therefore economics are also part of it, is that, wait, we see barriers before we see opportunities.
That's unfortunate.
And retirement as a word is a barrier.
And I want us to explore that, right? Because I love that we actually haven't used the word pension. Because usually that's the lingo that we often use. And then wadula, and you idle, and as you say, you tend to wilt. Given that this is the future generation that we're creating, and we speak to them in different ways. We speak to their lifestyle. We speak to their wealth creation opportunities. Mm. We are essentially, I guess, part and parcel of inspiring and assisting this new wave or the future of what the black middle class actually looks like, especially from a wealth point of view. How does this afford us the opportunity to inspire them to evolve versus retire? And I think that's the concept that we need to touch base on. Because once you're off air, Uncle T, I still believe you'll be a very busy man if you'll even go off air.
Look.
And Amu, you can come in there just to build up on that.
I mean, Amu, there's a point where, and I think you've raised this a couple of times, even in our sessions. You say there's being employed as a gateway to what?
Yeah, so what I was saying is that being employment is like the gateway drug to business.
Yes. Mm.
So I work here and I see things that are happening and I'm thinking there's a gap, or maybe I can follow this path and it becomes a side hustle which you nurture and it grows. But when I retire, so-called retire, I'm not retiring. Mm. I'm stepping down to something else that I've nurtured, which will, carry me, whether financially. And also, what we also think, seeing are like passion points that become like very serious businesses, which people, when they step down, they want to carry on with. Because we saw like three tensions or like three segments when it comes to this retirement thing. People who say, yeah, retirement is good. Mm. And those who are in like proper formal employment, unlike us in the creative industry with proper pensions, are happy. And then the guys who are like pragmatic, but they're on the fence. But then there's like this topic that we're talking about. And I put it to the guys from the institute to say, like, is retirement like really, really still going to be a thing, or it has to be looked at in a different way? Whether we're talking about the instruments of retirement or the way we look at it. Are people going to retire? Because you can see internationally, the baby boomers were like the only proper generations that could save enough.
True.
Mm-hmm. So in the developed world, generations after cannot even afford to retire.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing like this whole behavior is not by choice, but it's one either to survive, but what it then brings up is different ways of looking at your life. You might have seen one of the things that they spoke about is this skills bias of all sectors, even radio. No, radio used to be the home of dropouts. But that thing is no longer happening.
Not when you've got broadcasters with MBAs. Right?
Yeah.
And that's a very solid point. We've got about 2 minutes before we wrap it up. And I think what's important that I also want us to share with our community and the individuals who listen to us throughout the course of the day, from the music to the to the knowledge to the financial factors, is how we can take ownership of this particular narrative and not feel as though we are just, sets of data and information and insight within a workbook, but how we take ownership of this narrative that I do want a side hustle. I do want to work in a corporate job. Yeah. I actually don't want to retire and I want to evolve in my career. And perhaps then how that shapes the kind of conversations that we should be having at the dinner table, at the braai, at the car wash when we're sitting with guys on our cooler boxes, because that's part of the dynamics that we fall into, right?
Yeah.
Having sushi and champagne. Not sushi, you said rujang kana. Come for Monday. How should we take ownership of this particular narrative and how should it shape the conversations and even the financial decisions that we take?
I think it starts with the individual. We come from a socialization that you must ask for permission. Give yourself permission.
Yes.
Because I can tell you now, HR departments, after they read this report, and CEOs reading this report, and already even in the room today, as we delivered it here in Johannesburg, the conversation was already even apparent that organizations are fast accepting that their employees are having side hustles.
Yep.
And they have no choice but to support that. So there will be a tension or a conflict with yourself should you not give yourself permission to. Because it's about your freedom, right?
Yeah.
Because you are a multi-potentialite. That's what basically what you're saying. I can do more than one. And I have time for it.
Yeah.
And hence, when you listen to the breakfast show here, they talk about 9 to 5 and 5 to 9.
Yes.
That's exactly the I think the multi-level or the multi-layeredness of who we are as the BMC, right? And that for me, it's that's where it starts. Give yourself permission to.
Yep.
And then you'll see, instead of others telling you what you are, they will rather come close and collaborate to understand what you are.
Definitely. Amu, if you have to wrap up.
Look, I think at Google they did it nicely. They called it, I think, 10% time. And Gmail is a product of 10% time. So they would allow you to side hustle at work.
Yeah.
And your Gmail, Google Maps, all of those things are a product of that. But the biggest thing that came from this report, confidence, owning our narrative.
Yep.
I want to see where that leads us, especially when you see like a lot of our brothers and sisters who are even seeing like the whole globe as a place to work.
Yeah.
So it's not just Kaya, it's not just Gauteng, it's not just moving from here to the Western Cape, like the whole world wants our skills, and I just want to see where that leads us, like from a research point of view. But from a lived-in experience, I think this is like the most amazing time to live.
Yeah, as a black person.
Yeah, because people will look back. It's still only 28 years of freedom. Mm-hmm. People will be looking at us 100 years from now, 200 years from now, to say these were the pioneers. Okay, so we are not seeing the changes happening because we are in the change.
Yeah, but and so influencing that.
So when you look at
narrative.
The research, you can see there's been so much change, and it's only been 28 years. So those two things for me, you know.
And let's continue with that. Yeah. Definitely. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. I definitely think it needs to be a series because there's so many bite-sized chunks that we can certainly discuss, from the side hustles to access to education and opportunities, to the various generational shifts that are also taking place, where third generation middle class actually telling their parents, this thing at degree, I'm not quite up for it. And these are all aspects that influence the financial decisions we take, that influence the narrative around generational wealth that we look to create, and even the opportunities that we also want to explore.
Guys, I made it.
We made it to Google Show. Come on.
That is not just for Uncle T or Tibos, as you might know, the best tea in the city, host thereof, but he also is a broadcaster, marketing practitioner, director of Tibos Productions, and also well-researched academic too. Join
soon author.
Soon author. Yes, coming out next year, next week, next month.
Next month.
Pause.
Pause. It's the name of the book, yeah.
We'll review it here on Kayapiz. I'll help you to that. Right, Danny? It's happening. Danny says yes, Praedi. It's happening. And Amuma Tebula, who joins us as the head of research here at Kaya 959. Very intriguing conversation that we have, and actually one that really forces us to hold and host the narrative of our conversations as Black South Africans. We talk about creating wealth all the time, but are we really having honest and robust conversations about our readiness for retirement, for education, and how it is that we move from being consumers to producers and key contributors to South Africa's economy?
Kaya Biz with Gule Tumfupi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.